You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning, my friends. It's so good to come around the Word with you this morning. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. If I haven't met you before, you haven't met me. My name is Renu. I'm one of the pastors here at Gateway. Just an update we would have heard about last week. Pastor Lee and Pastor Naomi are away on holidays at the moment, so continue to keep them in your prayers as they enjoy this time of rest, relaxation, and refreshing. If you are a kid in the room and you haven't got an activity pack, make sure you grab one from one of our hosts as well. But you know, how good is it to start our new year speaking about expansion? Last week, Pastor Rachel launched our expansion series and spoke about expansion in us and the wisdom that requires. And today I would love to encourage you around expansion in us as a church. You know, expansion, the word expansion means like a becoming larger, more extensive. And, you know, sometimes we can look at expansion as something that is coming or happening. But can I encourage you today that we're already seeing the expansion? You know, when I think of last year and our carols on the lawn, like that was the first time we had carols on the lawn. And the picture I have of, you know, the different teams, Trent and Greg and Chrissy manning the barbecue and doing a sausage sizzle. I think of Anna and Sally and a bunch of the young guys, Diesel and Aaron and Jackson, you know, making slushies for the young, for everyone who was there. I just think of this picture of expansion there. Like, expansion is something that we might look to for the future, but expansion is here. When you walk through the doors, you know, the fresh coat of paint, the new backdrop that we've got, that is expansion. Like, you know, the amazing people who were here through the week, Amos and Jossie, Ben, Will, Ozzy, Tim, Bevan, Wazza, Neil, each and every one of you, you were a part of seeing that expansion. We are continuing going to see it because God is doing amazing things. There's amazing things that God is doing. And expansion is something that we want to continue to see, but it's something, can I encourage you, that we already are seeing. And let's take stock of, wow, these are the great things that you are doing, God. We honor you and we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for what you're doing in this church, because can I encourage you, the church has never been just about this building. The church isn't these four walls. The church is you. The church is me. See, in the Bible, the word for church in the New Testament, ecclesia, is a gathering, an assembly of a group of people. You know, this year, my friend, we are declaring greater expansion, becoming larger, more extensive as a church, growing together, stronger in our faith, deeper in the things of God, but also in numbers. Let me encourage you from this scripture, Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Now, has anyone here been camping in a tent? Anyone gone camping in a tent before? Now, two important things you have to do is when you put those poles together, you got to make sure you pull that tarp like taut and tight. And then also you got to make sure you put the stakes in well into the ground and like hammer them in really well. Fee, we went camping a while back and we had a torrential summer-like storm. Well, it was winter then. We had a torrential storm at night, but because we'd put the stakes in strongly, the tent didn't fall down despite the rain and the storm. Thank God for that. But you know, that's my heart, that as we do those things like that scripture says, as we strengthen our stakes, as we stretch our curtains wide, that as we go deeper, we will grow stronger, that we will stand firm like a tent in the storm, like a tent in challenging times, that we will see God do greater and bigger things through us and for his glory, so people would come back and would come and know him. That we will look back at the end of this month, at the end of this term, at the end of this year and say, wow, look what God has done. Wow, look what God is doing in our church, in our lives. So would you join me as I open in prayer? Lord God, I just thank you that you are the God of all things. And we just honor you for the expansion that you are already doing. And we just say, as a church, we commit to this expansion ongoing. In Jesus' name, amen. So friends, as we look at expansion for us as a church, today I'd love to look at the early church as an example. To give you a bit of an outline, I'm going to speak about how the church, they love God and the things of God, and then how they gathered regularly as a church, how they pursued loving each other, and then finally the outcomes they saw in doing this. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Expansion for Us, Loving God and People. So let's look at the account of the church in Acts chapter 2. To give you some background, this is after the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit filled the believers that were meeting together. Crowds of people were there and they witnessed this amazing encounter with the Holy Spirit. Peter then boldly preaches the good news of Jesus to the people who were there, the crowds that were there. About 3,000 people heard the good news of Jesus, responded to it, and were added to the church that day. We read the account in Acts chapter 2, and we're starting at verse 42 to verse 47, if you're following along in your Bible or Bible app. Acts 2, 42 to 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. You know, what a powerful picture of the early church, the togetherness they had, the devotion they had, you know, that they love each other, they love God. But, you know, I want to unpack this passage a little bit. And as I said earlier on, the first thing I'll look at is how they love God and the things of God. You know, in verse 42 and 43, and even in verse 46, it talks about being devoted. They were diligent and consistent in the things of God. The few things we see here, that they were diligent in the apostles' teaching. They gathered each day, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. You know, at that time, the word of God hadn't been written. So what the apostles were teaching were what Jesus had taught them. So they were teaching the word of God at that time. They were devoted to prayer. In verse 46, they worshipped together the temple each day. You know, Trent spoke about this, that as we gather together, we gather to worship. That they gathered together for regular fellowship, sharing in meals. They were in relationship. They did life together. You know, can I encourage you that the believer's devotion in this passage speaks of a love for God and a love for the things of God. See, loving Jesus, loving God is Jesus' instructions to us. It was Jesus' instructions to them, but to us today. When asked regarding the most important commandment, Jesus says in Matthew 22, 37 to 38, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Can I suggest to you this morning, friends, that the church, the early church, exemplified this. They practically loved God with all their being, with their heart, soul, and mind, in the ways they devoted themselves to. Now, you know, let me liken it, I suppose, to our relationships today. If you love someone, or, you know, you have your first crush or someone that you're interested in, you know, you want to be around them. You know, you want to spend time with them. You talk about them. You might, in this modern day and age, you might do like an Insta search or a Facebook search of them, and to find out a bit more about them. You know, you're keen to talk to others about them. You tell your friends, your close friends about them. You know, that was what the early church was like with God, that they were so passionate about the things of God. You know, they wanted to learn more about him, about his word, what Jesus had said. They spent time in prayer, talking to God, communicating with God. They pursued time together the way they could talk and be in fellowship. You know, for us today as a church, let's be a people together who grow in loving God and the things of God. You know, just like the early church grew in these things, what is it that you need to grow in this year? You know, perhaps it's reading the Bible regularly, diligently, taking time to reflect and meditate. You know, this is something I want to grow in, because sometimes I can get a bit caught up in, I'm doing a Bible app, let me just get through my Bible app and tick off the day, the 12th of January, done. But really taking time to reflect and meditate, saying, God, what are you saying to me in this word? You know, perhaps it's a fresh passion for prayer, or a greater passion for prayer. You know, Christine shared in the prayer meeting this morning how she's got a real heart for prayer. You know, I love prayer, but sometimes, like, if I'm sitting in bed and praying, there's a risk of me falling asleep, a very high risk. Can anyone else do that? They sit in bed and pray, and next minute, oh, it's morning time. I fell asleep while I was praying. But do you know what? Maybe prayer looks different for me. The time if I'm driving in the car or walking, maybe it's a time where I can take time to talk to God, to listen for God's voice. Maybe that's the same for you. That's something you want to grow in. Perhaps it's finding opportunities for praise and worship beyond Sunday, or gathering, participating, being in relationship with others in church regularly and consistently. Perhaps like the early church where they shared meals, it's meeting up during the week with someone from church, maybe for a coffee at a connect group. You know, what is a practical way that God might be speaking to you about growing in this year in one of those things, or maybe something else? See, because can I encourage you, there's great power in those things, in growing those things. But, you know, something I want to draw your attention today that the early church did today is they gathered each day. They gathered regularly. Now, let's be honest, let's be realistic. In today's world, gathering together each day is not always practical or possible with the lives that we lead. But can I encourage you, there is great benefit in gathering regularly. There is great benefit in gathering regularly. You know, it's a space where you can be encouraged, where we can share what's going on in our world, where we can be challenged, be spurred on in our faith. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend, that you and I sharpen each other as we gather together. You know, I know I'm preaching to the converted, to those of you sitting in the room, that you are here today because you believe in the power of gathering. But can I encourage you, you're not created to be a Lone Ranger Christian. You're not created to do this journey alone. You and I were created for relationship with God and each other. You know, has anyone seen the TV show Alone? Anyone? So this is it's a survival TV show where these people who are survival experts, they've got all these like mad skills. They can build fires. They can forage for like random things in the soil. They can build shelters from anything they can find in the woods. But you know, they like put them out in these remote places and kind of they have, I think, 20 items it is that they can pick, or 10 items that they bring with them. And then they have to make up everything else themselves. And these people have the amazing skill to survive. And the end, the last person standing wins the prize. But you know, after watching a few seasons or episodes, what I've noticed is a lot of the people who bail out early, it's not because they don't have the skills, it's because they miss their loved ones. It's because they've got a significant event happening. It's because, you know, they miss their children. They want to be home. They feel the isolation. You know, God created you and I for community. God created you and I for relationship with Him first and foremost, but relationship with each other. And, you know, people sometimes say, I've heard people say to me, oh, you know, I have faith in God, I'm saved. You know, I don't see the value in church. I don't see the value in community. You know, maybe you're one of those people who said that before. Can I encourage you? There is value in being part of the church. There is power in being part of the church. You are an essential part of this community. You know, if you're watching online, you're not here. You are an essential part of this community. In the body of Christ, Paul, in his writing to the churches, says this in Romans 12:4-5. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has its special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. You know, you are an essential part of the body of Christ. You have a unique gifting and calling, a unique purpose that only you can fulfill. And we need you here at Gateway, or as part of the body of Christ, to see expansion within this church, within our city. You know, can I just say here, my heart here, it's not to be legalistic or heavy or, you know, come down hard if you're not coming to church. But can I encourage you that gathering together is an essential element of being a Christian? I also understand that sometimes past and present hurt from church or church people can hinder you from being a part of church. You know what? That is a real thing. That is a real place to be sitting in. And if that is a roadblock in you coming and gathering together, can I implore you to start in the pathway of working through that hurt, whether it's speaking to a pastor or a professional about it? You know, I also get in different seasons of life, it can be difficult to actually make it to gather as a church, right? Like, it's not always easy when you've got young family, young kids to try and get to church. If you've got to work on Sundays, if you've got personal struggles or sickness, I get that there's challenges. So again, it's not my heart to be heavy and come down hard, but to encourage you that there is power in the body of Christ, that there is power in gathering consistently and regularly. Because we see that as the early church did, that there were such great things that happened in the early church as well. Hebrews 10:25 says this, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You know, friends, can I encourage you this morning? Church, can I encourage you that let's together be like the early church, that we grow in being devoted, being consistent and diligent in the things of God, in loving God and the things of God. You know, because we see the early church thriving and expanding as they love God and the things of God. But can I encourage you, I love how they loved each other as well. If we read from Acts 2:44-45, it says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. You know, sometimes those verses can be read and be interpreted as some sort of communal living. You know, the idea where everyone put everything into a pot and it was all divided equally. But can I let you know that Bible commentators and experts say this was not the case. It wasn't that they had this weird codependency in each other where everything was like communal and they lived a communal life. Instead, it was this attitude of doing life together, of being aware where each other was at, of being hospitable to one another, if someone was in need, providing for that need, helping those in need. You know, this is something that we can do today. For us as a church, as we continue in this season of expansion, let's be people who pursue loving each other well, who pursue loving others well. You know, loving God was the first commandment, but Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 22, again in verse 39, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, again, I'm not speaking about loving each other as a codependency where you go to your pastors or leaders or fellow church members and expect them to do anything and everything for you and be there for you at all times. But it's a genuine love and a care for each other. Galatians 6:10 says this, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers, especially to those, you and I, who belong to the family of believers. You know, a genuine love and care where we come alongside one another when care or help is needed. You know, whether that be a listening ear or a prayer partner, maybe it's providing practical support, meeting practical needs, encouraging someone to seek further support, sending someone a text message during the week to let them know you're thinking of them. You know, whatever it looks like, that genuine care and support is powerful in loving each other well. There is power in doing that as a church. There is power in doing that. And, you know, as I look across the room, I see people who already do that so well. You know, I think of Deb and Barb going and visiting some of our church members who are in nursing homes. I think of Diane, Graham and Marianne calling people who can't be here. I think of Trenton Fee's Connect group who a while back there was a family who had some additional needs and they rallied their group together to provide some meals for that family. You know, that is a picture of the body of Christ. That is a picture of church loving together. And can I encourage you, we don't always get it right. Maybe there have been times when you felt like you haven't been seen or haven't been heard or have missed out, that we are growing and learning together. But can I also encourage you that if you have a need or if you're going to something, we are not mind readers. Can you express that need and say, hey, I'm needing some support. You know, I need someone to come alongside me in prayer or this practical support, because we would love to come alongside you, but we can't if we don't know. And I encourage you to pursue that help. We would love to support you where we can. But, you know, can I also address sometimes this elephant in the room that sometimes loving each other as a church, as people from different backgrounds, different families, different practices, it can come with challenges. It can be challenging at times. We are different people. God puts together all these random people from different cultures and backgrounds and have a common purpose. It can have challenges. And, you know, it reminds me of this meme I saw on the internet that there's two types of people in the world, and maybe you're one of those two. There are people who do chores first and then sit down and rest, or there's people who have to have a rest before they can do chores. All right, so I'd love to survey the room. How many people are like, get all the chores done and then I'll put my feet up? Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people. And how many people are like, you know, oh, I just need to put my feet up, have a rest, and then I'll do the chores? Yeah. It's funny because the following bit that says that meme is like, there's two types of people and they often get married. And that is exactly Bevan and I. That is exactly Bevan and I. So, you know, Bevan says I'm a bit of a bulldozer. Like after dinner, I bulldoze all the dishes and want to put them all away while he's sitting down having a bit of a rest. And then, you know, he has a bit of a rest and then he's prepared to do the dishes after that. So, and exactly, they're done. That's my idea. But do you know, there's the potential for conflict there, right? Because it's like, I'm like, oh, why isn't Bevan helping me do the dishes after dinner every night? It's like, oh, I'm having to do it all. And then Bevan just wants to sit and have a bit of a chat and have some time together. And I'm like, bulldoze all the dishes in the dishwasher, put them all away, clear them. But, you know, that has the potential to create conflict because we come from different backgrounds. But the fact that we're aware of that different practice, the fact that we're aware of our different habits, it means that we can work through it. Isn't it a bit like that with us, the church? You know, we come from different backgrounds. We come from different practices. Maybe our families did things different way. So we come together and do things together and be like, the way you clean the barbecue is weird. You know, the way you clean the bench is weird. But can we make allowances for each other's difference? Can we make space for us growing together? You know, can I encourage you, the early church had challenges. In the next chapters after Acts chapter 2, they face opposition, they face challenge. But in Acts 6, there was rumblings of discontentment around the food distribution. We see Stephen and others were allocated to help with food distribution. Can I encourage you, as I look across the room, we are a group of imperfect people. But we are learning to grow and emulate our perfect Jesus. We're learning to become more like him. Discontentment, disagreement, and offense are highly probable. But can I encourage you, the Bible also gives us many helpful tools about working out these things and functioning as a people together. You know, to name a few passages, Ephesians 4 has instructions for Christian living. Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body. Colossians 3 talks about living together as Christians. And I'm not going to go through all these passages. I'm not going to go through any of them in detail, but I just want to pop up on the screen Colossians 3, 12 to 15, because there's such tools of gold here in living together as the body. You know, it says things here like be tender-hearted and merciful, be kind, be gentle, be humble, be patient with each other. I love what it says in verse 13, making allowances for each other's fault, making allowances for the fact that we are different, that we might do things differently. Forgive anyone who offends you. You know, if you've offended someone or been offended, to forgive someone, or if you know you offended someone, to apologize quickly, deal with it quickly. Because can I encourage you, we don't have time to sit and disunity or offense or hurt, because we have a city out there that needs to hear the good news of Jesus, and we are called to be a beacon of light to see them hear the good news of Jesus. So let's be people who are patient, who are kind, who make allowance for each other's faults. In verse 14, it says, above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. You know, let's be people who love one another well, who pursue loving one another well, because as we do, unity commands a blessing, my friend. As we're in this season of expansion, that as we pursue loving God, the things of God, and loving others well, that it is imperative that we do this. You know, Pastor Ozzy spoke from John 13, 34, but in verse 35, it says this, know that we follow Jesus. They will know that we follow Jesus by our love for one another. Because can I encourage you, there's great outcomes from doing this, from pursuing the things of God and pursuing loving people. In the early church, we see this in Acts 2, 46 to 47. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And each day the Lord added to the fellowship those who were being saved. You know, as I read those two scriptures, the first outcome I see is there was such great joy in their lives. You know, they shared meals with joy and generosity. Who would love to share meals with other people with great joy and generosity? They praised God. They enjoyed the goodwill of people. The early church lived life with joy. Yes, they may have had challenge, but they had joy in what they were doing. But secondly, and more importantly, each day God added to their church those who were being saved. Each day, people responded to the good news of Jesus. Each day, people were restored to relationship with God. You know, friends, this is the outcome of expansion in us as a church. This is literal expansion for us. Each day, God adding people to the church. This is why we exist as a church. It says there on the wall that relationship with God, that all would have the opportunity for relationship with God. You know, in a society that can be so isolating and individualistic at times, people are searching for community. People have the opportunity to experience life-giving community here. You know, I think about the group of friends that I train with at the gym. There's a regular kind of crew of us who meet at 6 a.m. and there's such a bond and a camaraderie that's formed through that training together. You have the ins and outs of life together. You know, you might have a similar group at your gym or at your workplace or a sports team you play for. There's a real bond that's happened there. And, you know, there's a bond that we have here. Even more than that bond there, I love the bond that I have here with you guys as a church family. But, you know, what goes one step further than my group at the gym or my crew at the gym is that the life-giving hope we have of Jesus. See, we're not just a community group here. We're not just a group of people who gather together with like-minded things, but we have the hope and love of Jesus that we can share with the world. We have the hope and love of Jesus in this place here. And even more significant than just a community group is the hope and love that Jesus offers. So, you know, if you're here this morning, my friend, and you've not responded to the hope and Jesus that Jesus offers, I would love to give you the opportunity to do so at the end of this message. But church, can I encourage you, my essential followers of Jesus, my essential members of the body of Christ, that you and I can be a part of seeing our loved ones, our family and our friends restored to relationship with God. As you and I continue to pursue loving God, loving the things of God, pursue loving each other well, we will continue to see people come to the saving knowledge of God. We have seen this in 2024. I declare that we will continue to see it in 2025. You know, friends, let me encourage you this morning that the combination of us each year as a member of a church is not just an addition. It's not just a summation of it together. You know, we might think of the equation of, you know, Edward plus Joss plus Tim plus Ben plus Thea plus Trent plus Fee is an addition. But can I encourage you, it's not. It's a multiplication. because God is in the mix and He does the multiplication. He does above and beyond we could ask, all we could ask for and imagine, that He does the work and He makes things grow. Because God is in it, He is working powerfully. That the sum of us together, it's not just an addition, it's a multiplication. Ephesians 4:16 says this, He, God, makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow. As each of us help each other do what we are called to do, the body grows together so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. What a powerful picture of a community. Healthy, growing, and full of love. What a great life-giving community to be able to introduce people to. You know, this year, in this season of expansion, let's commit together to pursuing the things of God, His Word, prayer, gathering together, fellowship, and let's pursue loving each other well. So I ask you this morning, what is it that you're needing to grow in? What is God prompting you that you need to make change to? Maybe it's growing in His love for His Word, a greater passion for prayer, gathering consistently and regularly, loving and caring for others well or better, working through hurts and offenses that may hinder you from loving well. You know, whatever it looks like, can I encourage you to pursue those things? Because there is a world outside these four walls that needs the hope and love of Jesus. There is a world outside this building that needs to encounter the love of hope in Jesus. And He has called you and He has called me to be a part of that. And as we grow and as we expand, we continue to be a beacon light of hope for Him. And you know, as I was preparing the last couple of weeks, I kept having this picture of the sodium bicarb and the vinegar reaction. Most people would have done this in school at science some point, or you know, maybe even at home when you're trying to clean pots and pans. It's a good option to clean pots and pans. But when you add the two together, there's just like an overflow of it coming together. And I just had this picture of us as a church as we stand together, like the sodium bicarb and the vinegar added together. It's just an overflow that will overflow out of us into our city, into our workplaces, into our community, to our colleagues, to our friends and family that are yet to know Jesus, for our children who have walked away from Jesus, that there is an overflow that as we pursue loving God and the things of God, an overflow that will come through us, an expansion that comes through us. So can I encourage you, let's stand this morning. I want to pray for us. You know, I want to pray for whatever it is that God has put on your heart, whatever it is that God is wanting you to grow in. And can I invite you, if there's something specific you know God is speaking to you about, or you're like, God, whatever it is, I want to grow. Can I invite you to raise your hands to God? Lord God, I just thank You for who You are. I just thank You that You bring the increase, You bring the expansion, You bring the outcome. And I just pray, Lord, for the areas You are prompting us to grow in. I just declare that You will bring the growth in us, Lord. If it's something that we need to pursue, the things of You, Lord, Your Word, prayer, that You would give us a greater passion for Your Word. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear as we read Your Word. As we're pursuing prayer and hearing Your voice, that You'd help our ears to be so attuned and so clear to hearing Your voice. If there's something specific that You are wanting us to meet or grow in gathering or being consistent, that You would give us the discipline to do that. And we just yield to You. I just declare if there's hurt, Lord, I just pray for anyone who's experienced hurt or carrying offense, that You will just give them the little niggle to go, I need to bring reconciliation to that. I need to bring restoration to that, because we are here, Lord, to see a city restored to right relationship with You. We are here to see our loved ones come to know You, and we choose to pursue You, to love the things of You, God, and to love each other well, so the world will see us and they will know we follow You because of the way we love You and because of the way we love one another. So we honor You for who You are, Lord. We just say we are here, we yield to You, Lord, and say have Your way in our lives. Teach us to follow You, Lord, and we honor You. You know, and this morning during the prayer meeting, I just was reminded of the story of Elijah. And you know how there'd been this season of drought. And he sent his servant to look out for a cloud. And he sent him back over and over again, and he didn't see anything. But finally, the servant came back and said, there is a cloud the size of a man's hand. And you know, that's a word for someone this morning, because there is a cloud the man of a size hand. It doesn't look like much. But after that became the most supernatural downpour. That as you know, you start with a little thing, the cloud the size of the man's hand, that there is a supernatural work that God is doing. So if that is for you, I say receive that, that God is doing the supernatural. Do not lose hope. Do not let go of hope. Do not give up in this moment, because there is hope. The cloud the size of man's hand might look look little, but it brought a supernatural downpour that hadn't been seen before. So we just declare, Lord, that there is hope, that you are doing mighty things, and we honor you for who you are. And we thank you and we say, here we are to follow you. Here we are to worship, to pursue all that you have for us. We are your church and we want to walk in the expansion you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, why don't you take seats this morning? Before we come to the end this morning, if you're here today, you're watching online, and you have not responded to the hope that Jesus offers, I would love to give you the opportunity to do so. You know, friends, this morning I'm not talking about having gone to church growing up or even just coming to church. I'm not talking about being baptized or having been dedicated, but I'm talking about a personal decision to believe in Jesus, a personal declaration of faith in Jesus. You know, perhaps you've made this decision before, or perhaps you never have. But can I encourage you, firstly, that God loves you? You know, Pastor Ozzy spoke about this beautifully in communion, that God loved you so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sin, for my sin. Jesus lived a perfect life, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, there is a pathway for us to be restored to right relationship with God. So if you're here in the room this morning, or you're watching online, and you're like, do you know what? I need to pray that prayer. Maybe you've never prayed it before. Maybe you once did, but you know you need to get right with God. You know, through believing in Jesus, through a prayer that says, I believe in you, Jesus, personally, I choose to follow you, that you are restored to right relationship with God. Through faith in Jesus, you can experience his peace, his grace, his strength, his guidance in your everyday. Romans 10:9 says this, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if you would like to take that step of making a personal decision and declaration of faith in Jesus, I would love to lead you in a prayer to do so. The church is going to pray this prayer after me, and I'll just invite everyone to close their eyes out of respect. And so if that's you, would you join in praying this prayer after me? Church, would you repeat as well? Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died for me, that you rose again for my sins. I declare with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I choose to turn to you and follow you. Thank you, by my declaration of faith, I am saved. Amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.